This is Bustin' Loose in Faith with none other than Apostle Dudley Tebow and Prophetess Lisa Tebow. Welcome, welcome, welcome to a broadcast that brings you word and encouragement for your soul. We want you to remember that you don't have no worries. All you need is faith in God. Bustin' Loose in Faith airs Tuesdays and Fridays at 6 p.m. Central Time. Now, without further ado, let's get into this broadcast. And may God bless you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God is good and worthy to be praised. All praise, all glory, all honor belongs to Him this night and forevermore. Oh, Heavenly Fathers, we approach the throne of grace. Come here, humble ourselves. I need our mighty hand in here tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord, as we get out of the way, that you may have your way. Hide us behind Calvary's cross and on Jesus of clay. Use us, Father God, for thy glory. And Father, we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We mind about technical difficulties, anything that try to hinder the word of God from going forth. In the name of Jesus, take authority over the prince of the air this night. In Jesus' name, look deep down our heart, deep down within our soul. If there's any sin that's so evil, be set us. We just shake it off, actually put in the seal of forgiveness, cast it as far as the east is from the west. In the name of Jesus, prepare the people's heart to receive thy word in spirit and in truth. And Father, we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Thank you for everything that you have done, is doing, and will do on this Good Friday. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. If you have the Bible, man, I can open up to the book of John. Excuse me, the book of John. The book of John, chapter 19, and we're looking at verse 28 through 30. And the word reads, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things was not accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and that was filled with a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon Hasi, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Just for the next few minutes, brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to talk about the seventh last words of Jesus on the cross. And we're going to be emphasizing on the sixth saying, which says, it is finished. Here, the seventh saying of Jesus on the cross, his last seventh saying on the cross. Hallelujah. Here in the book of Luke 23, verse 34, it says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. A number of people was laughing at Jesus from the crowd, and Gangata, or a place called Skull. Jesus asked that God forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. This was the first saying. The second saying is found in Luke 23, verse 43, where it says, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is when Jesus was crucified on the cross between the two thieves, one on the right and one on the left. And he told the thief on the cross, the one who asked that Jesus remember him. Hallelujah. The third saying is found in John 19:26. And 27, where it says, woman, behold your son. Son, behold, your mother. Jesus was talking to his mother Mary about this. And then he told the disciple called John to care for her. This is the third saying. The fourth saying is found in Matthew 27, verse 46, and Mark 15, verse 34, where it said, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is when God turned his face away from Jesus, and his wrath was placed on Jesus Christ. Jesus felt this abandonment. The fifth saying is found in John 19, verse 28, where it says, I thirst. Jesus thirsts not only in a physical sense, he would experience massive hydration, and also he thirsts for the people to come to him. Here is the sixth saying that we're going to be talking about. When he said, it is finished. There's a sixth saying. The seventh and last saying that he said on the cross while he was hanging on the cross. Then Jesus called out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. And having said this, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. These were the seven last saying or last words of Jesus Christ on the cross before he died. Hallelujah. Our emphasis tonight will be on the sixth saying of Jesus while he was on the cross. And it deals with, it is finished. We know that today is set aside, which is the Lenten season, or the Holy Week, which is called Good Friday, the time where he was crucified for the sins of the world. He became that ultimate sacrifice for all mankind. It is finished, found in John 19, verse 30. Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar. He said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You see, Jesus' passionate suffering ministry is now complete. He became a ransom for many. People of God, Jesus became the true God and true human, was the perfect one for all sacrifice for sin. We see here where it says, a scripture that is in contents with what we just read about. In John 1, verse 14, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, beloved, there are 12. How there are reasons why Jesus saying the sixth one that he said on the cross. We see that it means, when it says it is finished, it means that he fulfilled what he was preordained to come to planet Earth to do. See, one thing about Jesus, he knew his ministry. He knew his purpose. And he endured all the way to the end. Despite the shame, despite the stripping him of his garment, besides hardly putting a crown of thorns on his head, he drug a cross from Judgment Hall all the way to a place called Skull. They nailed him on that cross. They put his spikes through the palm of his hand, through the ankle of his feet. They raised him high. They stretched him wide. They pierced him in his side. Water and blood came trembling down. And when it hit the ground, lightning started flashing. Thunder started roaring. People that was in the grave started coming out. Darkness. Hallelujah. Darkness took place in that particular time. Yes, my brothers and sisters, in Christ, the Son of God, his only begotten Son, became that ultimate sacrifice for all mankind. Yes, beloved Jesus has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but Jesus entered into the Holy of Holies, into heaven itself. And now he appears in the presence of God on our behalf. Yes, beloved Jesus had appeared once and for all. And for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's why it says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Because of his death, his resurrection, his life, because he rose, we can live again. Because of his sacrifice that he fulfilled, hallelujah, the penalty for the law. He bridged the New Testament with the Old Testament after he rose again, after the Holy Spirit was sent. Yes, beloved, only Jesus, the perfect one, the sinless one, he kept the law fully, and he was the true Son of God, the Son of Israel, who loved God and his neighbor perfectly. Here we see in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Think not that I've come to abolish or to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy or abolish them, but to fulfill them." This is another reason why Jesus saying the sixth one on the cross meant when he said, "It is finished." When everything was fulfilled, there was benefits that was left for us. Because of Jesus enduring all the way to the end. When we look at the word of God in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, it says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew not sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Yes, my brothers and sisters in Christ, thank God for what he allowed to happen. Thank God for his son Jesus, who knew not no sin, but became sin for us, all that have fallen short, all that have sinned, Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ became an ultimate sacrifice, bridged the gap between God and man, that we may be able to be made come back in right standing with God the Father through the sacrifice that he did for all mankind. Yes, beloved, God attributes, he credited the righteousness of Christ to every sinner account. Those that are willing to come to him, those that are, hallelujah, come to a place in their life and realize they are a sinner, realize that they need help on a spiritual basis. Yes, we're also reminded here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 15, it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect have been tempted as we are, yet without sin. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ, he became the ultimate sacrifice for all mankind. Yes, people of God, there is nothing that we can add to Jesus' finished work on our behalf. Beloved, Jesus has no need. He has no need like those high priests to offer sacrifice daily, first for his own sin, and then for those of the people. Since Jesus did this once for all, when he offered up himself, he was the perfect sacrifice. He was the one that fulfilled totally the penalty that was by him shedding his blood for the remission of our sins. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He is wonderful. He is merciful. He is gracious. Again, we are talking about the sixth sin of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross when he was getting ready to die, crucified, when he was ready. He said, it is finished. He said, I will endure all the way to the end. So he offered up himself according to Hebrews 10, verse 12.
And it says, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Remember this always, people of God, that salvation is God's gift to us, and so is our faith. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9 says, say for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Say not of works, lest any man should boast. Beloved, man is saved by grace. That is by the kindness of God in having Jesus die for our sins. But this grace is appropriate through faith that man believes that what God has done for him relies upon Christ's atonement to both. To blot out sins, and to bring him into a proper relationship with God. So in other words, if Christ hadn't died in our places, if he hadn't died on the cross, then we would not be able to have fellowship or relationship with God because of the sin in our lives. The only perfect gift was Christ. The only sinless person was Christ. And so his blood shed on the cross so that we could have a relationship with Christ, with God. I'm sorry, not Christ, because Christ is the Son. And it's because of the death of his Son and the obedience of his Son to the death of the cross that we, his people, are able to commune with God. Because of these reasons, that is why Jesus said the sixth saying, "It is finished," because he had stood the course. He had not given in to not follow what God had required of him. So can we say that we actually are living what God has purposed us to do? Can we say that we really have run the race when we've stayed our course? Because when Christ took on the mission of dying for us, he knew who he was dying for. He knew why he was dying. He knew that if he didn't die, what would happen? He knew that he needed to die because he was the only gift, the perfect gift that could be stand in our place, stand in our stead, that was going to work for renewing that relationship between God and man. So he had done all he was supposed to do. He had served the purpose. He had come to earth as a man. He had gone through all of the hardships that he had to in order to know what we are going through on a daily basis, what we in human form go through, the hurt, the pain, the disappointment, the test, the trial. But he was able to finish the course, finish the race. And so he was able to say, "It is finished," because he knew he was dying. So we must not forget that we couldn't keep the law because of our sins. We couldn't do that. The word of God says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." For beloved God, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. He sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Any necessary works of ours would nullify, render ineffective, which is what nullify means, or cancel out the grace of God. So that being said, that means that there's nothing we could do. There's no work, nothing that we could actually do to serve the purpose to keep us in right standing with Christ. Romans 11:6 says, "And if by grace, then is it no more of work. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace." Yes, it is Jesus' obedience that saves us and not our own. So see, we can't take credit for our salvation. We can't take credit for having a relationship with Christ, because once we surrender to Christ, then we have fellowship with God the Father. And it's only through the Son, Jesus Christ, that we can get to the Father. You have to understand that. There's nothing that we in our fleshly bodies can do to earn salvation. There's nothing we can do in our earthly bodies to earn the love of Christ or the love of God, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. So there's no way that we could do anything. There's no thought, there's no word, there's no action, no deed that we could perform to do or compare to what Jesus did. So we have to keep that in mind always. Romans 5:18-19 says, "Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. One man's sin, Adam, caused us to all be in out of fellowship with God. One man, the sin of Adam. All mankind is now sinful. But by one man's obedience, Jesus Christ, we all have access to eternal life. You got to know that. You got to know the difference. You got to know that it's because of Jesus Christ, his obedience to his Father is what makes us able to be in right standing with his Father, in right standing and have access to the key of life, to eternal life, only because of one man, Jesus Christ. So one man caused us to be sinful, and one man caused us to be able to have eternal life. And that's, again, for scripture, is Romans 5, 18 and 19. Mark that in your Bible if you need to. If you need to tell someone else why we have to have a relationship with Christ, that's why. Because of his obedience to his Father, we have access to eternal life. But it's still your choice. It's still your choice. Who do you choose? Do you choose to follow Christ and be in good fellowship and right fellowship with his Father and have access to eternal life? Or do you choose to do what you want to do and be man-centered and follow your own agenda and not know where you might end up? It's still your choice. It's always been our choice. In John 8, verse 36, it says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. All followers of Christ stand justified before God in Jesus Christ alone, through Jesus Christ alone, because of Jesus Christ alone. That's the only way we can be free. The Son sets us free. And that's in Galatians 3, verse 11. I'm sorry, that was John 8:36. According to Romans 4 and 5, which says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Faith is not a work performed to earn righteousness. Rather, it is the means through which God can impute the righteousness of Jesus Christ to the sinner. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. We as believers in Christ are free from condemnation forever if we choose to follow Christ. If we choose to believe that Christ is the Son of God and that he died for us, we are free from condemnation. Romans 8, verses 1 and 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. That's how we know there's no condemnation. Romans 8, 1 and 2. So we just need to understand that there's nothing we can do, nothing we can say to save us, nothing at all. It's all through Christ Jesus and his love for us and his love for his Father that we are able to have a right relationship with God. And once we get our relationship horizontal, the vertical relationship, that's the relationship between you and God. The vertical gets right, then the horizontal, which is your fellow man, it will be right. But until you get it right with God, you can't have a right relationship with your fellow man. So we got to make sure we concentrate on knowing who Jesus is and what he did, the actions he did, and how important it was for him to follow through on his instructions from his father. So if he is able to follow his father's instructions, so are we, because he's the example that we're supposed to follow. Again, the sixth saying, it is finished, with Jesus on the cross. And with that, we'll take a break and be back with you shortly.
Your voice, sing a new song. Don't look back, this is where you belong. You see, time get hard and things get wrong, but Jesus will take it right when you had enough. See, yeah.
Anything that we go through on earth. We're talking about one of the last sayings of Christ, the sixth saying of Christ, one of the last sayings of Christ, the sixth one that says, he said, it is finished, because he had fulfilled his course. He had done what he was purposed to do. He served his purpose. He served his destiny. As the Son of Christ. So he could say that it is finished. He knew it was over, that when he took his last breath, that he had done all he could do to atone for our sins. So at this time of the year, it's a good time to remember that Christ died. He suffered. He suffered for you. He suffered for me. And I remember when I started to really think about this Holy Week, last Sunday on Palm Sunday. I remember as a youngster in my teenage, late teens, 19, 20, maybe even earlier than that, the first play or movie that I remember coming out about Christ, other than the regular ones we usually see, Moses and Earth Hercules and those movies that we see all the time, Jesus Christ Superstar. It was a hippie version of the crucifixion of Christ and his last years on earth. And I thought that that was just ironic back then that man could come up with a depiction of Christ's life and the crucifixion the way they did it. But man, it was nothing compared to the emotion that was triggered with the passion of the Christ. So imagine you haven't done anything. You're not guilty of anything. There's no reason for people to dislike you. There's no reason for people to come against you. But just because you declared who you were to them, and they had no clue who you were, so they mocked you. They criticized you. They threw rocks at you. They just ostracized you and defamed your name just because you didn't agree with what they wanted to do. Well, isn't that kind of what we're going through now? As a follower of Christ, we're called church freaks, holy rollers, Jesus freaks still, because we believe that there is a God, that Jesus Christ was his son, that he died on the cross, and that I need to serve him on earth and show my enemies love. And he rose because he's the only one, he's the only religious leader that I know that has been talked about that has actually gotten up and left the empty grave. Anybody else that was a religious leader that died and was buried, they're still, as far as I know, they're still there. But Jesus rose. His tomb was empty. There was nobody found of his. So if nothing else, if he went through it, then just know that you're going to go through something that he went through, the persecution, your trials and tribulations. But it's not in vain. It's not for naught. If you trust that his promises in his word, then anything that you go through in this life to get to eternal life is worth it. Because if Jesus went through it, you'll have to go through it too, or some form of it. So you can't say that it should be a life of a bed of roses because you serve Christ. No, Christ didn't have a bed of roses, and he wasn't guilty of anything. We're guilty of stuff. We're guilty of falling short. We're guilty of not loving our brothers and sisters. We're guilty of not being aware of and taking care of looking out for our brothers and sisters. We're guilty of backbiting. We're guilty of lying and cheating. We're guilty of things that Jesus wasn't guilty of. So those are things that we need to consider when we say we serve Christ. We are followers of Christ. We are believers in Christ. So are you actually spending time in the Word to get to know who he is, to get to know him for yourself, to get to know that if it was written that he would give you eternal life, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Will you be able to say at your last breath that I have fought a good fight? Really, I have. I've tried to live the life that Christ called me to live. Will you be able to say it's finished? Will you be able to say that? That's something to consider. In Philippians 1 and 6, we have to be, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's another reason why the saying on the cross, the sixth saying, it is finished, that is evidence of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives and not our own work. We have to believe that things that we're going through, we have to be confident of why we believe what we believe. And know that Christ is in control and that Jesus' death was not in vain. Because had he not died, who knows what this world would be like. who knows if we would even be here at all. Mm-hmm. I asked that question, what if Jesus had decided not to serve, not to fulfill this walk? What if he decided to call in that legion of angels to rescue him? And before he got beaten with the cat of nine tails and hung on the cross with the nails in his hands and feet, what if he had called the angels to get him and not had gone through that? What would have happened to us? Would we still exist? Would we still be here? Well, I don't even want to think about it because I am here and I'm glad I'm here. So it's a choice that we have to make. We have to make a choice who we're going to serve, man or God. And if we choose God and we choose Jesus and we choose to get to know him, then we know there's an eternal reward. So this weekend, starting today, knowing that today, we say, is the day that Christ was crucified, but we know he's going to get up again. We know he rose. So it is finished in that he died for us, and he's going to rise again on the third day. So we reenacted this time of the year, Easter. I always say Resurrection Sunday because to me that's a better description, because when I think of Easter, I think of the Easter bunny and the egg, which has nothing to do with what this weekend is really about. That's the world's way of celebrating Easter, Resurrection Sunday. So I would encourage all of you to really think about what happened this weekend in the life of Jesus and how it affects us, how it affects you. It made salvation a gift from God. And I'm thankful for that. I'm grateful that Jesus finished his course. I'm grateful that he loved us enough. He loved his Father enough to go through what he went through for me. So the least that I can do is try to live the life he's requiring me to live by loving my loving God with all my heart, mind, and soul, and then loving my neighbor as myself. Because I think those two, the life hinges on those two commandments. And if you can come close to fulfilling both of those, then the rest of the commandments are easy to follow. But it's because it's all about love. It's all about love of God and love of mankind. So I encourage you to grab hold to someone that needs to hear that you love them, needs to understand that Christ is the reason that we love, because we don't love first. God loved us so much that he gave his Son. And that should be enough in and of itself for us to continue on through tomorrow, through the next day, and through our valley, because we're going to have valleys. We're going to have tests. And that has to be, Christ loving us has to be the basis of us going through and persevering through our tests. So just concentrate on that. Have a wonderful weekend. Know that God loves you. Even in our wrong, he loves us. He just wants us to get past the point of our trials and tribulations and love him back enough to follow what he has commanded us to do. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time we've had together with our listeners and followers. Lord, we thank you that you've allowed them to listen in, and we hope that they've heard something that pricked their heart to follow you closer, to become closer to you. And God, we just praise you for Jesus. We thank you that he loved us enough to follow your instruction. And Lord, we ask that you help us to be able to follow your instructions also, Lord God. Help us to be examples of Christ every day so that people know that you are real, so that other people want to see a change in their lives because of something they've seen change in ours. We love you. We praise you. We give you all the glory, Lord. And we just ask that you be with us as we go through this weekend, Lord God. Be with us in the midst as we praise and honor you and your Son. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we give you all the glory. All these blessings and prayers we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Have a great week, and be safe. Know that God loves you, and so do we. Lord willing, We'll be back with you again on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Should you wish to reach out to us with questions, comments, topics you'd like to hear discussed, you may write to us at 8544 West Belfort, B as in boy, E-L-L-F-O-R-T, Avenue, number 715, Houston, Texas, 77071. Address your correspondence to Dudley, D-U-D-L-E-Y, and Lisa Thibault, T-H-I, B as in boy, E-A-U-X, as in x-ray. God bless. Have a great weekend. We love you.